Revelation 13. So if you've read through the Bible enough, you know that 13 is going to be a bad luck number. The standard is the Bible. Revelation chapter 13 has 18 verses. Genesis 13 has 18 verses. Deuteronomy 13 has 18 verses. And Genesis 13:13 is the first time the word sinners shows up in the Bible. Deuteronomy 13 is dealing with a false prophet, and Revelation 13 is dealing with the Antichrist and or the false prophet. And basically, the goal this morning is just to hopefully that we all can be in awe of the Bible. Okay, just to kind of step back and look at this book and say, wow, this is quite a book. It's not general rule of thumb that the devil gets people to think that the Bible is only a religious book, okay, and then they fail to look at the prophecies. And the prophecies of the Bible is what proves the Bible to be the Word of God. Revelation 13, verse 1, he says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Common saying on that is a ten-horned dictator. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. The word dragon is found 13 times in Revelation. The previous chapter tells us who the dragon is. If you would, drop down to verse 16. And he causeth all, okay, he, this would be the second beast of verse 11, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this, and help us, like the psalmist said, that I am in awe of thy word. Help us to understand the prophecies of the Bible, and that we, in this age, actually are witnessing a prophecy that's soon to be forced and now deceptively being pushed on people throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as I mentioned, prophecies, what you can go to prove the Bible is a unique book. It's the Word of God. The issue that a person has to overcome is that we see this book here and we fail to remember that from Genesis to Revelation took about 1,500 years to write with different men, different places, and men predicted something, and maybe 100 years later that prediction came true, and we have it all recorded in one book. So what we've just read is a prediction of the Bible almost 2,000 years ago that people would be controlled economically through a number. Okay, the number or the mark or the name. I see three distinct things. Okay, and here that was predicted 2,000 years ago. And then they predicted also in the Bible that something is going to be placed in the right hand and something is going to be placed in the forehead. Now, if all the atheists want to get together and disprove the Bible, or if all agnostics or all Satanists want to get together and disprove the Bible, why don't they get together and change the bad number? 666 is no longer the bad number. Now it's going to be 543. And they can start a great big advertisement campaign and say, now the bad number is 543. And then they'll argue about, no, let's make it this and make it this. And let's change it from the right hand to the left hand. Okay, and that's all they got to do to disprove the Bible. That would not be hard to do. But why don't they do that? The number 666 is found four times in the Bible. Two of them are found in a verse 13. One is found here in chapter 13, verse 18. 18 is three sixes. And there's a lot of confusion about this mark of the beast. So I want to kind of work on that this morning. It's not nothing, life-changing per se. I don't think it's going to help you change a kid's diaper this afternoon. Nothing helps with that anyway. And so, but it's just hopefully that we can step back and look at the Bible, that this book is more than we think it is. This book deals with economics, it deals with government, it deals with family life, it deals with any area of life that a person decides to look at. Okay, the idea here in Revelation 13 is that there's going to be a world tyrant, a ten-horned dictator, that is going to force people to either take a mark, a name, or a number, and that will be used to control people to buy or sell, okay, in order so he can get an international taxation out of this. Now, that's the idea. So a lot of people have thrown in their opinion, what they think the mark of the beast is. Probably the first thing I'd heard through the years is the Social Security number. Okay, has anybody heard that beside myself, that that's the mark of the beast? Okay, that's somebody's opinion. Now, the Social Security number is obviously used not for identification purposes. That's what it's pushed off as. It's used to control. Anybody try to get a job without a number? Try to get a bank account without that number. It's used to control. That's the purpose of the number. Originally, it was started by FDR and company. It's called social insurance, socialism. FDR was a socialist. And that's how that began. Okay, if you really want to have fun with somebody, if you got a job and they say, sign this form, put your Social Security number, and you say, what's that? You don't got one of those? What are you talking about? Well, didn't you get one of those when you were born? Well, I was very small then. I don't remember. You know, but it's used to control. That's its purpose. Okay, some feel about a few years back, the RFID came out. Like a chip, radio frequency ID. That came out. And, you know, a lot of the conspiracy people say, oh, that's the mark of the beast. No, I don't think so. It is designed to control. It's designed to, as far as surveillance, where you go. Even Walmart has been selling their clothes with little chips in their clothes so they could track it. Okay, and that's the purpose of it. It's trying to get people conditioned to being tracked. Okay, I've read the Seventh-day Adventist said that since you're sitting here on a Sunday, that's the mark of the beast. Sunday worship. The mark of the beast. I've read that. I've also read that the mark card, M-A-R-C, that came out a few years back, that was used to control people. Some feel that a tattoo might be significant. Now, a tattoo is interesting in that in the Bible it says that the mark or number is in the right hand and forehead, or and a tattoo is actually in because it goes under that first layer of skin. I don't know how far they put it down. But, you know, the idea of tattoos, can you imagine, somebody getting a tattoo, young gal about 30 years old, and, you know, then she grows, and then she gets about 70 and her granddaughter, great-granddaughter's looking at her tattoo and said, Grandma, why'd you get a chicken tattooed on your arm? Well, it wasn't a chicken at that time. It was an eagle. But, you know, it gained some weight there, and so it kind of looks a little different now. The number 666 is obviously well-known. It's well-known for evil. Okay? And so that's not the mark of the beast. I see that that's different. An implanted biochip. A lady just said to me last week that her husband went to the VA and they encouraged him to take this chip with his medical information, his vitals, and they can put it in his hand. And, of course, Well, that's not the mark of the beast, per se. It might be part of something like that. It's designed for control purposes. The barcode. Some have mentioned that the barcode might be tattooed. Okay, the barcode, the UPC barcode that's in the stores. You have two lines at the beginning, two lines in the middle, and two lines at the end, and that divides it in two sections. But the two lines and the two lines represent 6 and 6 and 6. Okay, it does make it convenient just to pass that thing over, and a lot of times these things do make life more convenient. You know, a credit card, a cell phone at an airport is great instead of trying to figure that out. But still, these things kind of make life more convenient. But then in this age, this is the greatest age for knowledge. It is also the greatest age of deception, this age that we're living in. Now, the Obamacare, it's been reported that next year, 2017, a provision in the Obamacare is that they want every American to be implanted. Okay? I don't know. I doubt they're going to get it happen. They're never going to get 100% of the route. But still, in Revelation 13, he forces this on the people, in verse 16, where they cannot buy or sell. Now, there are forerunners of the mark that condition people. It just kind of gets us conditioned. And now, all these things that I've mentioned already, I don't think that's the mark of the beast. Okay? The forerunners are several. Social Security number is a forerunner in that a number is used to control. Okay? That is obviously the intent of it. Okay? The Hindu dot. You ever see that Hindu dot? They put it right there. Okay? It's my understanding that after a man marries her, he can take a coin and scratch it off and just find out if he gets a gas station or a motel. I'm not sure what's in there. Something might be under there. Who knows? Okay? Ash Wednesday. Any of you former Catholics remember putting the ashes right of there? You know, and that's, you know, if you got a sense of humor, if a friend's got a sense of humor, you see him, you need to wipe that off, you know, just to see how they react to that. That's a forerunner, to put something on your forehead. A tattoo, again, is a forerunner, and as I mentioned, a barcode. But what actually is the mark of the beast? I want to give you some ideas about it, what we learned from it. In Daniel, in Revelation chapter 13, he does portray this international king as a beast of prey. So the first thought is this: the Bible itself portrays international kings or presidents to be beasts of prey. And what this does is it helps us understand politics. It helps us understand why do they get away with doing this stuff? When anybody can see it, why is it in America people are just so apathetic? Because they don't see anything changing. You put an R in there or put a D in there, it doesn't matter. Everything just gets worse. And so that's why the average American doesn't even care to vote. And besides, who knows about the voting process? Now in Australia, if someone doesn't vote, they get fined. But it still doesn't change anything. They're still going down a raunchy path. Okay, and so in the Bible itself, the Bible portrays international kings to be beasts of prey. In this one in particular is a combination of a genetic modification of a leopard, a bear, and a lion. If you would go in the Old Testament, Daniel also portrayed this, Daniel chapter 7, verse 17. And remember, Daniel is like the Old Testament parallel of Revelation. Daniel 7 is where this lion, this bear, and this leopard first shows up. And then the fourth one is a combination of all of them, and that would be the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth." Now, that's a no-brainer. You say, what's the interpretation of that? The four beasts are four kings. The Bible portrays international kings to be beasts of prey. Now, a beast of prey operates under two methods to get its prey. These are the same two methods that every government operates by. It doesn't matter what you call it. The first is deception. That leopard will sneak up, try to catch, you know, that prey where they don't see it coming. and then violence. That's the two orders, deception and violence. Jesus said the same thing about the violence. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Matthew 11, 12. This is why the police cars now say law enforcement. Some of us are old enough, or if you want to watch Barney Fife, okay, and might see in the side of the car, peace officer. Because that would be the Bible distinction. Law enforcement, forcing you to do something. Okay, and so that's the idea of it. Now, in Revelation 13, in verse 16, you can see that this was, he causes all, okay, the rich and the poor, free and bond, to, this is a forced situation. This is taking something under threat, duress, or coercion. When a person, if you're in a situation where somebody is trying to get you to sign something and they're threatening you, you can get out of it by go ahead and signing it, and then you can write beside it some letters. You can write TDC, and that means threat, duress, and coercion. You can write UCC 1-307. That might kick it off. Or you can write underneath of it in very fine print, non-assumption. And that means that signature is non-binding. Those are things you can do. But why? It's under force. So the Antichrist here in Revelation 13 is forcing something upon people under the guise of deception that it's for their economic security. All this identity theft. If you put this here, then your identity cannot be stolen. Oh, yeah, it is. It can be easier. Okay, so Revelation 13, if you would look in verse 17, this is one thing that people are all confused about the mark of the beast, is they don't see that there are different items here. In verse 16, he mentions the mark in the right hand, in their forehead. In verse 17, he says that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Now, sometimes the word or is a different title of the same thing, a ball or a sphere. But in this context, verse 16, it's doing the opposite, a buy or sell. That's two separate items, buy or sell. So personally, I see that there's a mark, there is a name, and there is a number. Three, and they're all used to control a person economically, and they're going to pass it off as for security. I feel so safe. Okay, and so this is a pattern. Okay, the UPC barcode, that's 6 and 6 and 6, that's conditioning. We're getting conditioned for these things. The monster drink and the three squiggly lines, like a 777. That's how a Jew writes 666. Okay, and they use the color specifically because the Bible says that the unclean spirits of a pagan trinity will be like the unclean spirits of a frog. So it's that greenish color. That's why it's done that. And it's a bull testosterone, and you get into the sacred cow, holy cow, and all that stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong to drink it. If you want to, you know, get energy, go ahead. Okay, but I'm just saying it's conditioning people. I see people got that sticker on their truck, and I haven't done it yet. Usually when they're driving by, I want to say, would you ever put 666 on your truck? Oh, I wouldn't do that. No way, Jose. I'm no good. Well, look at there, Hebrew. That's in Hebrew, 666. And they probably won't care. Why? Because it's just more subtle. Now, I want to look at the passages that mention the mark of the beast. It is mentioned 8 times in Revelation. We read the first one in Revelation 16 and 17. I see a distinction there, a difference. Revelation 14, verse 9, it says, and a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in the forehead or in his hand. Now we see an additional characteristic here. The one in 16 was forced upon them to control them economically. In verse 9, he adds the word worship. worship the beast and his image. This is a voluntary allegiance. Verse 10, what happens to that one? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. He mentions worship again. Next chapter, chapter 15, verse 2. These would be the champions of the tribulation. 15:2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. So now the rider has been transported into heaven, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on a sea of glass having the harps of God. These champions took nothing. And they ran around, and of course they're getting killed. Okay, this is then chapter 16, verse 2. And the first wind poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. He throws in the idea of worship again. Okay, this grievous sore is probably leprosy, because that takes us back to Leviticus 13, where leprosy is recorded. And then we have a gentleman in the Old Testament that had leprosy and was healed as getting baptized in the Jordan River 7 times by, not by Elisha, he went in there, dunking himself. Okay, again, here is the word worship thrown in with there. Chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken. Okay, that's the beast of Revelation 13. And with him the false prophet. That's the other beast in Revelation 13. That wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Notice the first line, the modus, the method of plunder, of legal plunder, is deception first, violence second. So he says, deceive them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. He throws in worship again. Chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, now if you go back to Revelation 13, what was the purpose of this? Was control. Control by deception. What's the end game? 20 verse 4, killing them. Violence. That's the end game. Okay, that's the actual intention of control. The end game is if you don't comply, get rid of them. Okay, and so that's the progression a person sees. Now, we begin to understand when we look at things of life and we look at politics and then we look at why are these governments allowing these Muslims just to enter, you know, come into our country the way they do, and why is this just a, well, what's the mode of death in Revelation 20 verse 4 is beheading. It's all the Lord setting these things up. Praise the Lord for that. Man, we get excited about those things. Okay, but in each of those cases, the idea is that the number was used to control first, but the end game is if they don't worship, they kill them, behead them. The Bible portrays international kings to be beasts of prey. That's how it portrays them. Okay, well, you drop down, maybe national, they would be wolves, dogs, coyotes. It's still a beast of prey. It's a lesser down, hyenas. Okay, Thomas Jefferson said this, the third president. He said to his cohorts, the political leaders of his day, we have the greatest opportunity the world has ever seen as long as we remain honest. Which will be as long as we can keep the attention of the people alive. If they once become inattentive to public affairs, you and I and Congress and assemblies, judges and governors would all become wolves. Boy, did he hit that right in the head. He's actually quoting a Bible verse in Zephaniah. Thomas Jeffer was not a believer. He did not like the Bible. He wrote his own Bible because he didn't like certain portions of it, the Jefferson Bible. But still, he got that right. In other words, with this idea in mind, a person ought not place their hope in any political figurehead. None whatsoever. We place our hope in Jesus Christ and that book. That's where our hope is placed. Okay, the second thought is this, is no born-again believer in Jesus Christ will be in danger of the mark. Who cares? Why? It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I've been confirmed to the end already. Already been confirmed. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. The born-again believer in Jesus Christ in this age has eternal security. If he'd be in danger of taking the mark of the beast, he would lose his salvation and overthrows eternal security. How does everything match perfectly? We remember that the mark of the beast of Revelation 13 is Daniel's 70th week, and the first 69 weeks operated in the Old Testament, clear to Palm Sunday. And that all operated under the Old Testament, Daniel's vision, great vision of 70 weeks. And it says the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon Jerusalem, thy holy city. That's why Matthew chapter 24 deals with the tribulation. It says those that be in Judea, when they see the abomination, desolation, run to the mountains. It's Judea, it's not America. Revelation has the 12 tribes listed in chapter 7, mentions them in chapter 14. James chapter 1 is written to the 12 tribes. Anywhere in your Bible from Hebrews to the end is all dealing with end time prophecy. Hebrews? All these people that think that the church is going to the tribulation, they, if they're born again, they're going to be pleasantly surprised. And they fail to overlook the fact that it is Israel, Jerusalem, temple, tabernacle, sacrifices, they overlook that entire fact. And they're overlooking a lot of scripture. And of course, that was predicted by Paul, because as Israel was blinded at the end, so is the church today. Professing Christians, the Catholics are British Israelites, Mormons are British Israelites, JWs are British Israelites, and a lot now are jumping that the church is Israel. No, it's not. If they want to pretend, have at it. Okay, what is it? They're all deceived on that. They're not believing what the Bible says. So thank God, the Bible is not built around America. Their thinking is, well, American Christians aren't suffering persecution. But the Bible's not built around America. If they really want to suffer persecution, they ought to take a trip to Israel and start passing out tracts. And when they get kicked out of the country, they can come back here and brag to everybody that they suffer persecution. If they really want to suffer persecution, go to Iran, go to Iraq, go to Turkey. Lebanon's a good place to go. How about Saudi Arabia and pass out and try to live as a Christian there? I guarantee they will suffer persecution. The Bible is a Middle Eastern book, and they're overlooking that fact. Okay, and so no born-again believer in Jesus Christ will be in danger of the mark. The third thought is this. The mark of the beast will be taken, and when a person is responsible for it, will be taken as a sign of allegiance to the beast. Okay, what's the beast? Chapter 13, verse 2 says it is a leopard. What is a leopard? A leopard is an animal that's perfectly integrated. It's got yellow all around its body, a white underbelly, and black spots everywhere, representing the three basic races. Yellow more than anything because the yellow outpopulates all the rest, the Asiatics. And if you look at the black spots on a leopard, it will be in the shape of a rosetta. A rosetta is when you put the lipstick on and put the imprint on something, it's the shape of a rosetta. So the mark of the beast is somebody who is worshiping voluntarily Satan, and Satan passes the whatever, the kiss on the forehead, which imprints in them, and that holds an allegiance for them. This is why kissing is so important as far as worship goes, because when the Pope wants somebody to honor him, they bow the knee and kiss his ring, hence the kiss of death. And that's what Judas betrayed Jesus with, is a kiss. And when we write on our letters, you know, 00XXX, love and kisses, they love, the kisses is the X marks the spot. And it's an allegiance that somebody's giving. This is a Bible pattern, where it says in Jeremiah 13, verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin and the leopard its spots? The answer is no. Okay, in Hosea chapter 13, the pattern in the Old Testament was that they were kissing the sacrifice. And there's a crude common saying where the Assyrian is the longer term, but if you drop that down to a jackass or kiss my, that's going with that idea of kissing or giving an allegiance to someone. Hosea 13, verse 2, it says, and now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of craftsmen. They say unto of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. The calves, the bull worship. This goes back to the days of the lost city of Atlantis, where it was a bull worship of a cult. It worshiped a bull and it worshiped a serpent. And they're going back to that. Okay, and this mark, or this bowing of the worship, in Romans chapter 11, verse 4, when Elijah got discouraged, remember when Elijah got discouraged, he said, I'm the only one left. And the Lord said, no, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. Romans 11, verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Well, that's interesting, Baal. It's been reported that ISIS just kind of blew up this Baal replica of a temple over there, and the people are upset about this. Next month, 2016, next month, a life-size reproduction of the Temple of Baal will be erected in Times Square, New York, and in Leicester Square in London. Is it there? So they're getting ready for these things. Baal, the Baal worship of Baal, the B-E-L, okay, where was a sacrifice of cows and or children. And the idea of Baal is the end of cannibal. But the idea of this is that the mark of the beast will be taken as a sign or allegiance to the beast. It's the devil's way of getting worship. And remember, when he tempted Jesus, what did he say? If you bow and worship me, I will give you world kingdoms. This is what we know about world leaders. Behind the scenes, where we don't see, they've made agreements. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where they're getting the agreements. That's why they get in power. Now, they're not hiding it anymore. It's not being hid. It used to be hid. The rock songs used to be backmasked. Remember that? The backmasking? That went, they don't do that backmasking. And man, it's right in your face. The Hollywood stars are coming out to admit that they are asking devil's spirits to help them act. The international musicians are coming out and telling us. They're not hiding it anymore. The athletes are not hiding it. They're flashing the signs. That's their worship that they're doing. Okay, and when the Antichrist sets up, these guys will be the first in line to get that mark, number, or name, or whatever it's going to be. It's an allegiance. Now, there's only one that I know of that's worthy for you and I to bow to and kiss. his feet. There's only one. Psalms 2, verse 2, it says, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. That context will be Psalms 2, verse 12. That context is a millennial psalm. Verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. It's the second coming of Christ. Not only that, Romans chapter 14 says, every knee is going to bend, every tongue is going to confess. Philippians chapter 2 repeats that. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. Now, the perfect place for a person to be is, okay, you start on your knees, but then you go prostrate, face down, and then you kiss his feet, and that's a good place for us to be. Jesus Christ is the only one who's ever lived to be worthy of that. The only one. And he's the one that's in, you know, kind of setting the standards of these things. It's a fascinating thing. This Bible, I mean, when you got to step back and look at this book, and when you're going through your life, you can see, yeah, Lord's coming back. Oh, yeah, they're pushing that on us. Praise the Lord, he's coming back. Man, you get excited about these things. And that's what the Bible can do for us. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand these ideas. Help us to see that the powers that be think that they're going to get away with this, that they might get their new world order. But the Lord, the ultimate power, is saying, yeah, you're going to get it, but it's going to be short. And then I'm going to blow it off the map. And then I'm going to set it up for 1,000 years. And Lord, I pray that that would happen soon. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to see that the Bible is a phenomenal book and it sets the standard. And I do pray that you'd help us to not be discouraged by world events, but be encouraged, because our redemption draweth nigh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.